Hello there.
Hello there.
Welcome to What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die? My name's Jamie.
And I'm Sean.
And this is our Carillion Chinwag.
Chinwag of the Carillion Styles.
Very nice. This is our little catch-up on the week. We just see what we've been up to and gives you a little sneak peek behind the curtain. And also, it gives us space to talk a little bit of smack and cheese.
The smack and cheese down. Oh my God. Love that.
So, yeah, we just have a little catch up. And first of all, Shawnee.
Hello there.
How are you?
Not bad. You okay?
I'm very good. Thank you very much.
Good.
How has your week been?
Oh, where to begin? The woes.
Oh dear.
The woes.
Oh dear.
There ain't no woes actually. It's all fun and games. Last week. So as I told you this as I walked in the door, my nan's car's finally gone.
Yes.
The old dogmobile banger.
Bye bye, little Fiat.
Goodbye, little Fiat. You did me well. Considering there was so much wrong with you. When I gave me auntie's ex-husband the list of stuff that was wrong with it, quite hilarious, you know, items such as the demister button,
yes,
for the back window was super glued because it had been pushed in. So instead of just fixing the bracket, this certain garage that my auntie loves to use super glued it in.
Why?
Yeah, don't ask why. Next thing is, they bolted the rear windscreen wiper in place. So unless you take the bolt out of the rod, you can't change the rear windscreen wiper. No, I was just like that. Who has been looking after this motor? Obviously, these are points where I haven't always been at Nan's.
Yes.
Or somebody else has sorted the MOT in service.
How long has she had the car?
Oh, good couple of years. It's had a long old life in my nan's house. And then it was already quite old before. I think it was like a 2010 car. Yeah, something 10. So that's 2010 plate. What else was going on with it? There's a massive dent / crack on the front left bottom bumper because of my nan. swears Blanche didn't hit anything yet.
She doesn't drive anymore, does she?
Not now, she don't. That's why we sort of pushed to get rid of it. The left windscreen wiper was cracked, where she had accidentally gone into a van, even though the road's massive. So the windscreen wiper went everywhere.
Oh, no.
Thing is, she don't remember, and it was during school kickout time.
Oh, no.
You know, there's a school up round near us. It used to be by Rooksbury.
Yeah.
So it's down that road. And smacked into a van. Apparently it went everywhere. We all did little drive-bys to see if there's any plastic on the road or whatever. Nah. So that's like that. What else? That's just funny. Oh yeah, the start-stop don't work. The eco mode don't work.
Yeah.
My mother the other day took the dog out. So sometimes she comes round, we're all on the insurance, blah, blah, blah. So she drove to take the dog out. Put the car in drive from park because it's part automatic.
Yes.
So we'll drive on automatic. There's no need to change it. It's just ease for my man when she was driving it. Put it into neutral and put the handbrake down. And then I had a message to sort of say, oh, the car's broke. Can't move the car. But no, the car wasn't in drive.
It's in drive.
So the engine was steaming and smoking because she was pressing the accelerator really hard. And I was just like, you didn't even put it into drive. And then when I got in it today, because that was the last person to use it, they hadn't put it in park when they put the handbrake on and turned the car off. So when you turn the car on, it starts screaming at you because obviously it's not in drive anymore.
Yeah.
It's in sort of this neutral, you need to put it in park sort of warm act thing. Yeah, so I was just sort of shaking my head. I can't wait till this car goes. And then this afternoon, goodbye, old friend.
Goodbye.
And now the dog has to go in my kind of nice car.
Yeah.
But that's all right. I've got the little hammock thing out the back of hers. I think it will fit my car because it just sort of strips up to the back headrests. So though it's for the Fiat, I think it will fit any sort of car backspace. So that's quite good. The dog's pretty good with my car. My grandmother will not be driving my car.
I wonder why.
Yeah. And my auntie, one of my aunties was like, oh, does that mean I can use it on a Saturday if you put me on the insurance to take the dog out every now and then? And I was like, I don't really want anybody else touching my car. I trust me dad. Like, if my dad had to drive it, fair cop.
Yeah.
He's good at all. You know, he drives loads of, you know.
It's just, he drives every single day, doesn't he?
Yeah. He knows what he's doing. He's driven lorries, tanks, bloody, you know, army vehicles, yeah, stuff like that. So he knows what he's doing. And then when my auntie said that, I was like, to be fair, out of all of my sort of relatives, you're probably the one I trust most. So, yes. Just make sure you reverse it onto the driveway properly. All of the worries of owning a dog. Anyway, that all aside, because that's all cushy. What else have I done? I haven't watched True Romance yet. We've just said about that. I'm going to watch that on Wednesday, because you lent me that last week with the old Tenacious D DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, something else has happened that I was going to mention, but I cannot remember. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I read an article today.
Did you?
I read an article today during my break at work. So, yes, it was during work hours. However,
well, you got a break. You
got a break. I'm going to have to sit down and have my break. Yep. And it was about a post that was sent to the Daily Mail or something like that about Royal Mail. So,
right.
Royal Mail. Don't want to get in any trouble here, but it's a published thing. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I've just read and I'm going to blow it all out of the water or anything like that. But this bloke went to work there for 6 months in an office somewhere in the Midlands. Can't remember where it was exactly. And it was just him, basically, with photo evidence of how the office runs and how the posties are and stuff like that, and sort of how downtrodden Royal Mail is in general. I won't recall it all here, because he didn't actually bite at Royal Mail a lot. There was a lot of sort of, you know, some of the older posties have told him how it should be and how it used to be and how it's changing and it's not for the better, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, an interesting read that.
Mm.
If anybody finds articles like that, A, make sure they're real for starters. And B, at least read them to the end, because there's a couple of good points in there.
Yeah.
If anybody obviously has struggles with their local deliveries. yeah. But it was quite an interesting read, because he went in as a parcel driver, not an actual postie.
Oh, okay.
But he was still open to the office as a whole.
Yeah.
So he was able to see the letter side of it as well as the parcel bit. And he was an ex social media dude. Like, so he went to other countries and filmed stuff for articles and newspapers and all sorts of things. So he did all that. He just needed a little job to tide him over.
Mm.
And yeah, and it's just, I thought it was really interesting to read. An outsider also listening to the older boys and saying, well, if that's the comparison from then to now, It's dangerous. And then did you hear they're going to try and stop second-class deliveries?
Oh, really?
Every other day, yeah. So every other day you'll get your second class. Even though the price of stamps is only like 50p between them now.
I mean, isn't it like that anyway? Unintentionally.
Unintentionally. Well, I don't think so. I mean, if a letter comes through the door, I mean, I dropped the bomb here. I'm a postie, but if it comes through the door, you're going to try and deliver it, aren't you?
Mm.
Because you don't want it sat in the office.
Yeah, well, I think we've both got that same mindset. When I was there,
yeah.
I was the same. But I remember seeing it 16 years ago when I first started.
Because they send it in separately. Now it comes in all together. But did they used to send it in?
It used to come in all together. Well, yes. You'd have a couple of... Here's a little behind the scenes for you, dear listener. You'd have a couple of lorries coming in the morning.
Mm.
Now, in the old days, all the letters would come in unsorted. When I started, they came in, some were sorted to the walks, but not in order.
Yeah.
And some were left to be sorted on the sorting frames manually.
Yeah.
So not too different. Nowadays, they come in sorted into order 95% or so.
Yeah, and then you get your watch, which is unsorted almost. You've got to manually dish that out.
I find it interesting that when I started and it was all unsorted, I used to get out the door 2-3 hours earlier than when it comes in sorted.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you got in a frame you didn't know,
yeah,
we'd be in the same situation. You work out a method of sorting those letters as quickly as possible.
Yeah, to get out.
Yeah, and sometimes that means put them into piles of road names and then sort them into the frames. Anyway, yeah, just everything changed. For some reason, at some point, things just got slower and slower and slower and more and more inefficient. But if you could get out the door at 7:30 in the morning, That's 3 hours of extra delivery time that you'd have to do everything you needed.
Yeah.
When I first started, one of the guys that I first went out with for training, I said, "Oh, what's the sort of the latest you've ever finished?" And he was like, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. But you think about the mail quantity then.
Compared to now, yeah.
To how it is now.
It was like double.
But I think in defense of it, if you think about it, it's the parcel sorting, which is the harder bit.
Oh, it takes the time. The parcels have changed the dynamic of the business and stuff. But also the timings of the sorting centers and stuff like that. You think the last lorry now for some offices is like 7:30, 7.
Mm.
Whereas back then, you were getting out the door then, so everything was in the office already sorted.
It was just, and I think as well inside the work ethic of the staff, I don't want to say it was better or worse, but there was a more focused approach to it. Like, we need to get this done.
Yeah.
Everybody sorts out this. Everybody does that. Everybody cuts out.
Yeah.
And then everybody's done.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to bother doing that. And somebody else will pick up the slack. And
yeah.
And I'm not saying that some are lazy, but I think what's happened is, from my point of view, and I've been out of it for a while now, but from my point of view, the system that's in place doesn't benefit anybody.
No.
And so the staff themselves are just, they're beaten down. And so they don't want to work hard because there's no reward for it. There's nothing in it for them.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you can't generally finish early anymore.
No.
When the job was job and finish, which it was for a long time, everybody works hard, everybody gets it done. People would complain, going, oh, their round's shorter than mine, or, you know, I've got more work, I've got more calls, and blah, 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 so I'm never going to finish as early. Okay, but at the end of the day, everybody's still working hard
to get
done. It's always punished the people who... I think it's always punished the people who work harder for some reason, but I think that's unavoidable.
Mm. But I think that's the same in every job, though. I think in most companies, you will see that. Mm. But yeah, I do agree with you. It's just change and stuff. It was just interesting, you know. I didn't expect to go into it a bit much, but it was really interesting reading that report there of a guy who come in to do just the parcel side.
Yeah,
but he could see how affected the areas were by the mail side.
Yes.
Because obviously the parcels have taken providence.
You know?
I mean, not so much in our little office, because we're quite on top of it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give everybody their due. They're getting out, they're getting the letters out, you know, and the parcels are sort of getting sorted out. We've had a sort of good couple of months now where everybody's, if they say they haven't had mail for 2 weeks, it's a blatant lie almost. Because they've had mail.
Yeah.
All right, you see anything on Spotted, Facebook or whatever, don't listen to it because you get your mail. But even though I've been there, 6 years? 5 and a bit? Yeah, that was my 5th Christmas, so it must have been about 6 years maybe. Mm. I can see the difference from when I started.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even drop and finish then. It was still you work till 2. Because the lorries now come in a bit later, you know, blah, 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 even when I started. But the change from them to now in the dynamic of how things are run and the type of jobs that people have to do.
Mm.
And, you know, you used to have on the frames, you'd have your specified sorting time, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You know, that's gone now, which is fine because I think most offices up and down the country, sort of like everybody sorts, just everybody get on it.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be sorted sharpest so you can get out and get your deliveries done.
Well, it used to be that the sorting frame was big enough that everybody could jump on.
Yeah.
But I think with the amount of parcels you get...
Oh, most of the sorters are now on the parcel side anyway.
You can't get enough people on there, and there's not enough space to expand there.
Too many cooks in the kitchen, isn't it?
Yeah. And your drop bag frames, they're not big enough to support too many more people because it becomes too... crowd, becomes
manic. Yeah, it becomes absolutely manic. Yeah.
And you're still trying to, you know, for want of a better word, chuck parcels into a bag from the other side of a sorting frame.
Yeah.
And you haven't got time to be passing them on. Like, I'll put this one in here, can you? No, because I've got a handful here. I need to sort these out. So
yeah. It's very interesting what outsiders think of the job.
Yeah.
because from what, because they always start, I've read a couple of articles and they always start with, I thought it would be different to this, because you see the postman out delivering mail and he's always happy, and you know, he's skipping up and down the road and he's delivering his mail. But actually the reality is it's not like that inside.
I'd like to say, like, I left that job and I didn't hate the job. I didn't leave because I hated the job. I left because I thought there'd be a better opportunity somewhere else.
Yeah.
The job itself, when you're out and about on the road...
Oh, when you walk in the mail, you have a great time.
It's, yeah, it is great. Like, you are in all weathers, which is sometimes good and sometimes bad. You know, the middle of summer when it's blazing hot, great, loved it. I don't care how hot it got, those are my favourite days.
Yeah, shades on, cap on.
Yeah, just a bit of music or podcasts or whatever you want, just in your ears and just... You just sort of cruise around, don't you? Just doing the job and just getting on with it. And then you get the wet days and you come away and you're a bit miserable, but...
It's still just a day. Tomorrow will be drier.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You get home, you dry off, you're good to go again. It's fine. But it's the stuff indoors that was always the...
Yeah.
That was always the hard bit. And what did I see? I saw something yesterday... And it basically said, people don't quit jobs, they quit managers.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting take.
It is interesting.
I don't think that's 100% applicable to everything, but I think sometimes it's the way it's run is what gets you down. Because you probably enjoy the job, or you're probably quite happy doing the job. But if the people who were there to sort of, to manage you, I suppose... are good people, you'll want to work for them, and if they're bad people, then
you lose that drive, don't you?
And you just come away sort of frustrated, I suppose, so you don't want to stick around somewhere that you're not happy.
That was one of the points in this article as well about the higher up sort of team.
I think
this guy specifically had a rather rough time of it. Not every office is like that. Just putting that out there for people who listen.
I got on with most people.
Yeah.
And you're always going to have a little bit of a difference with some managers. And I did.
Yeah.
I probably had a...
Oh, we all butt heads at time to time. I think not one person...
I probably butted heads with just about every manager. But, you know, I don't know if that's just me. Sometimes I'm quite argumentative. But generally, I can deal with them all. I'm quite happy to sort of talk and resolve issues. But, you know, I did have one specific manager who I wasn't keen on. But I also used to stand up for other people.
Yeah.
And sometimes that gets you in trouble as well.
Oh, of course it does, yeah. I've been there as well, yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So maybe part of the reason I left was actually I quit manager.
Yeah, well, maybe. There you go. But on to better things for you now.
Yeah, so there you go.
There we go. Yeah, so yeah, a little bit of a sidewinder there. But yeah, I read that article. I thought it was really interesting. Mm. Don't judge a book by its cover sort of thing.
Yeah,
but you know, don't also overjudge it because it's still good. But yeah, it's just really interesting, you know. Like I say, just somebody from the outside was only there for a little while and saw all these things happen, and then you can just sort of see the frustration. He didn't actually write it in the words, but you could feel his frustration because he wants it to work.
Mm.
And this is somebody who's not been in the job that long.
No. Which is mind-blowing, isn't it?
People who walk in the job, they want the job to work, and they go, oh, the job should be this, because this is what it was like when I was growing up. You know, I remember how, or a family member used to do the job, and it was like this when they were doing it, and they just want it to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not. But yeah, that was an interesting read, that. I didn't expect to stumble on that on my break, but it sort of opened my eyes a bit.
It's definitely not Postman Pat anymore, is it?
No, that's it. Yeah. And there ain't no helicopters delivering your special deliveries, mate. It's been out there. Postman Pat is fake. Well, all right. He's not real.
might have been more accurate many, many years ago, but certainly not in the last 15, 20 years.
Not recently, everybody. No. But yeah, that's basically my week. I read that article. I haven't even painted any Woorama. But I've got a long weekend coming up this week, so I've got a couple of things planned, but I'll leave them for the next podcast.
See if you procrastinate on new painting again.
Yeah, procrastinate on there, you know, see what happens, see what other, you know, sad events happen to my car. Every time I come around, I'm like, oh, guess what's happened to my car now?
Where you live is narrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just so difficult down that road. But now I don't have to worry because I get the driveway out the front of the house.
Nice.
I can't do the click because I've got an ulcer up there.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you then? Come on, tell me about your week, sir.
My week has been quite uneventful, I suppose. You know, a similar thing. We say this every week, always uneventful.
Mm.
We're still full-time workers. This is the problem, isn't it? We don't really necessarily want to talk about what happens at work.
Yeah.
And my work is really not that exciting. Nothing really happens.
It does pay the bills well, though.
That's all that happens is I earn just enough money to pay the bills, so that's fine. But what else have I been up to? I have watched a few films. This is like my regular segment, isn't it?
Yeah. Jamie's film segment.
Yeah, we need to come up with some sort of jingle or something. Yeah.
Films with Jamie. Da, 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 da.
So I have watched. I've watched four films. One film we're going to talk about in another podcast earlier this week. So you'll have heard that already. That was SpongeBob. The OG SpongeBob movie.
2004, sir.
Yes.
Imagine.
20 years old. I couldn't believe it when you said it.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Because I didn't do any research. I just watched the film.
I think it's 2004 anyway. It did say 2004.
I believe you. Let's just leave it at 2004. Don't over-research.
No, I'm just... Because it just makes me feel... Yeah, it is 2000. I can't believe it. 2004. I was 14.
I was 19. Still just a whippersnapper.
Still a whippersnapper. So I was the same size I am now. If anything, I'm just more hairy.
Well, I suppose I'm the same size. Yeah. So I watched SpongeBob. That was our little homework assignment. That was from our good friend Jav.
Yeah. Well, TGM, no, TBJBTV.
You put yourself in a cul-de-sac here where you are not going to get out. I'm not going to edit this. I'm going to let you suffer.
He's going to let me suffer, ladies and gents. Jav, I'm sorry, mate. And only the other day I was like, I've been watching some of your old animations on your YouTube. They're amazing.
TM.
It's TM. TMGBTV. TMGBTV. He does some animations on YouTube, people. They're really quite good.
And
I think his YouTube's the same handle. Yeah. I think it's the same name. So if you search that on YouTube, there's quite a few animations on there that he does from scratch, from home. You know, everything's done sort of at home by him. Proper cool, proper good. But yeah, sorry to cut you out there. Yeah,
no, that's good to give him a little shout.
Yeah,
I'll probably put all the details in the episode where we talk about SpongeBob.
Oh yeah,
so people can follow.
Yeah.
I also watched. So I had my girls over this weekend, and I like to watch films with them. I like to sort of open them up to the world of cinema.
Mm.
So we watched Men in Black, the original.
OG?
The OG.
One of my favourites. I've always said this, and I, the first film of this franchise or whatever,
yeah,
amazing. First Men in Black, masterpiece.
Yeah. So my youngest wanted to watch something really funny, which is really difficult because... Humour is so subjective.
Yeah.
I'll find a lot of stuff funny. She finds slapstick stuff funny sometimes. And my eldest is kind of the same, but she's starting to... You know, she's well, at the time this goes out, she's 11 years old.
Yeah.
Just turned 11. So her sense of humour is developing, and it's definitely getting there. So I thought, well, we'll watch Men in Black. I've not seen it for years and years and years, and I'm sure it's funny. I'm sure there are funny bits in it. It's silly. It's definitely not a serious film. Anyway, it's probably not as funny as I thought it was going to be. However, still very enjoyable.
Yes.
I would say it was probably closer to being bearing in mind, from the point of view of a child, probably closer to being like a horror film almost, because there's some scary looking aliens in there.
Yeah, especially sort of the last fight scene, the boss at the end.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I forget that he actually crawls out of the male suit, the skin.
Well, yeah, and you see just his skin get pulled down into the into the pit when the alien first lands.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's quite horrific, really.
Yeah, you forget about all them bits when you're like, oh, you're just 11 years. Go on and watch it.
Yeah. I'm not concerned that the eldest is going to have any issues with that. I'm just thinking, oh, the youngest, is she going to be okay seeing a skin suit?
Yeah.
And when he sort of steps back out and he goes back into the little farmhouse there to talk to his wife.
Yeah.
And he's all disfigured and he looks
mashed.
Oh, he does look mashed. He is rotten, isn't he? and she's like, oh, your skin's on slightly sideways or something to that effect. Yeah. And he then just pulls at the back of his head and his whole face sort of stretches up.
Yeah.
It still didn't look good.
Better! What was it? He drinks salt water.
Sugar water. Yeah.
Sugar water, yeah.
And he wants more!
More!
but very enjoyable. Mm. Good to watch it again.
Yeah.
You know,
Will Smith film, isn't it, really?
Yeah, you remember certain things. Like, I haven't watched it for so long, and I remember Frank the Pug. Which is cool. Remember the cricket, the little gun?
Yeah, the little Jimmy cricket.
Yeah, the little, tiny little gun. That was pretty good. Yeah, just a lot of it is...
It's bananas, isn't it?
Yeah, it brings back memories as well, because it's been so long. So yeah. I enjoyed it. My eldest enjoyed it. I don't think my youngest was bothered.
No,
but,
no.
You know, she's seven.
Yeah, their mind's all over the place.
Yeah, she's not thinking about it. She just wanted something that was going to be funny, and I don't think it really delivered on that. But then again, what she finds funny, I'm not sure. But speaking of things to make her laugh, we watched some old episodes of Total Wipeout.
Oh, did you?
Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember Total Wipeout, yeah. With Richard Hammond.
Yeah. And that's really funny, especially the red balls.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's one thing you're going to remember from that program, it's the red balls.
Yeah.
We watched one... Sadly, the quality of the episodes are not great.
Well, they're old recordings now.
They're old recordings and, you know, they don't look good, but still funny. Get up to the red balls, then you've got the I can't even remember what it's called, but there's a big swinging hammer comes down and bashes them.
Yes,
for those people who want to delay. It does have a name, but it's there was one woman. She was just stood there waiting to go, and this hammer came down and just bashed her. And that had the kids laughing their heads off.
Thing is, it is funny because it's almost like you say, it's almost slapstick,
yeah,
but it's real,
yeah, well,
because
yeah,
you know it's coming. And then, of course, you've got Richard Hammond laughing his head off,
oh, yeah, he's actually really funny on it,
yeah, and yeah, it's just infectious, isn't it, to see people falling off and getting whacked by foam. It's just like, go ahead.
So, we watched some of that. They wanted to watch some, was it Ultimate Warrior Kids, like a junior version.
Oh, right. Oh,
so, okay. Again, like an assault course, but like this is a legit serious one.
Mm.
And some of those kids, they are so fast. It is unreal how quickly they sort of traverse all these hanging obstacles and all this sort of stuff. And they are
ballsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the adults are usually pretty... Well, some of the adults are really good.
Yeah.
I remember watching the normal one, Ninja Warrior.
UK.
Yeah. And some of them are really good, and some of them are less good, but that's kind of the fun. But these kids are all good. And there's like a whole family of them, and they all do it. It's nuts. And then the other thing we watched was Takeshi's Castle.
Oh.
But we only watched one episode, because I don't think they were that into it.
It's not their era.
I think
it, 2 a.m. staying up with your mates after a lot of pizza sort of viewing Takeshi's Castle. It's not for daytime, I want a quick laugh.
It was really funny for me.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it thinking, this is so absurd.
Yeah, yeah.
The formatting of the whole program is nuts, because it's just like, bish, bash, bosh. Here's an event.
Yeah.
There's some people falling down.
Yeah.
There's some random characters. Now they're in boats.
Mm.
And...
pistols and somebody's got to do this, and they're trying to run through doors and they're just actually wolves.
And then you've got General Lee.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that's really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's not General Lee.
No.
But to some people, That oh yeah, he's General Lee. That's just his name. That's definitely not going to be his name.
No.
Anyway, no. Really funny.
Who narrates that? Do you remember the name?
Craig Charles.
That's it. Craig Charles. Yeah. Well remembered.
I watched it.
I know.
And you always, he's very
you can recognise his voice.
He's very recognisable, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, I used to love that. Yeah, 2 a.m. Well, I say 2 a.m., but it's like when you used to stay up, I can't stay up late now, when you were sort of school, do you know what I mean? And you'd be around your mates on a Saturday, you'd have pizza, and they'd be like, you kipping over on the sofa? I'll stay around.
I love those days.
And you'd just put Takeshi's Castle on, there'd be like 10 episodes. And you were just all just sort of half sleepily mong out. This was before phones and internet.
Yeah.
You know, you just put that on and just mong out to that, and then you'd be like, I'll go to sleep. You can keep watching if you like, and you suck under the little blanket, and then you go, Takeshi's Castle, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Mm.
The other film I watched, so I've got two more films.
Mm.
We watched Rogue One.
Yes.
Because it's been a little while,
and
I love Rogue One, and I can confirm. Still amazing.
Still amazing. Will always be amazing.
Always. Yeah. So good. Really, really enjoyed it.
Mm.
And again, I sat there watching it with the girls and they were like, I think the first half of it was a bit, the first half is slow, I think.
Yes.
But what I've always enjoyed about the film is the way it ramps up. Like it does start slow.
It gets pretty hectic pretty quickly.
Yeah. Once you sort of get to that halfway point and they're like, right, we've got to get to, especially when they're going to Scarif.
Yeah.
So once they've been to Edu,
I
think that's the sort of the turning point, and then you see Darth Vader for the first time on Mustafa, and then they're on Scarif, and then it just blows out of the water.
It's like somebody's thrown a bomb in there,
yeah. And then you've got Chirrut as well, who is the IP man, blind guy.
When
you first see him, and he has that first fight,
yeah.
That's amazing. Anyway, really enjoyed that.
Did the girls like it when it ramped up a bit by the end?
Yeah, by the time it gets to the end, I think they both enjoyed it. My eldest enjoyed the whole thing, but I think she preferred the second half.
Yes.
I think everybody probably would. And my youngest could have probably just done anything else. But that's just the way it is. Again, she's 7 years old. She's, you know, it's a more serious film than the other ones.
Yes. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I don't care what they thought. I was there for me.
Yeah. You can sit and watch this if you like, or you can just shut your eyes.
And then the new film I watched.
Yep.
So I got back to the cinema. It's been a couple of weeks, and I watched Monkey Man. Now, I'm not going to give you any spoilers. I walked into this film. I had no idea what it was about. I didn't read any blurb, I hadn't seen a trailer, didn't know anything. I just saw it and I thought, yeah, all right, let's watch that.
Yeah.
The only way to describe it in my head is Indian John Wick.
Cool.
That's it. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, but cool.
Yeah.
John Wick style, cool.
Yeah. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Did I enjoy it? Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah. That's all right then, as long as it was enjoyable.
Was it the best film I've ever seen? Not quite. Was it as good as John Wick? Probably not.
I'm glad you said probably not. John Wick is a legend, man.
Yeah. And, yeah, worth a watch if you're into that sort of thing. If you've got, you know, if you've got an hour and a half or so to spare, then, sit and watch it. You probably enjoy it, but...
Is it an hour and a half film then?
It must be somewhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was quite a late kick out. I think it was about 11:15 by the time I got to cinema.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it must be about an hour and a half because it was 9:15 start.
Yeah.
But then you got all the adverts and all the
ads and stuff. Yeah.
Which I quite like seeing all the trailers.
Yeah, yeah. Because you don't see them very much unless you go to cinema.
I don't sit and seek out trailers. I quite like to just see them in the cinema.
And get excited about it on the big screen.
Oh, that looks good. Oh, well, watch that. That's not for me.
Yeah.
There was a trailer on there. Speaking of Indian films, there's a trailer on there. I think it's called Kill.
Kill.
Yeah, there you go. Kill. And it's about somebody on a train, and they're, again, like a John Wick type, but they're trapped on a train, and they're just going to fight.
Oh, right.
That's the whole trailer. So I imagine the film is probably 15, 20 minutes leading up to being on the train and things being okay. And then all of a sudden it's fight, fight, fight.
It's just Mortal Kombat right to the end.
Yeah.
Bit like, was it Bullet Train? That's a film where they're all on a train, the whole film, aren't they?
I didn't watch that one.
Oh, didn't you?
I think it was supposed to be reasonably good.
Yeah, it was all right, to be fair. Yeah. Yeah, it was... but that was the same type of thing, that they're on the train for the entire film.
Mm.
But stuff happens on the train to the point where you forget they're kind of enclosed on a train.
Oh, okay.
Sort of thing. It was done quite well.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good. And then the only other thing I've got to talk about is... tried a new app yesterday. I tried it.
Yes, we had a little chat about this, haven't we?
Yeah, and I was very excited because somebody pointed me towards this Too Good To Go app. Now, I've heard about this years ago, but when I logged on then, there wasn't really much going on because it was quite new, but now it's got a bit more. And we don't have a lot here, which is what is the limiting factor, I suppose. But in the app, basically, what happens is they get to the end of the day in some shops like Greg's and Costa and wherever. And
you're sort of fresher shops.
Yeah.
Where stuff's made in store sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. They have basically would be wasted food because you can't sell it the next day, but they haven't sold it. So instead of binning it, they stick it on this app as a surprise bag. You don't know what you're going to get at a heavily discounted price.
Yeah.
So I went to Greg's, spent £2.59. I got two baguettes, a Mexican flatbread thing, an oval baguette. I got 9 donuts, a biscuit, and a couple of other little bits.
What's that price again, sir?
That one was £2.59. They do vary depending on where you need to go, where you go in a location, I suppose, but it was such a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
So really good. If you don't mind a little bit of a bargain and you don't mind stuff being at the end of the day, and usually this stuff is fine, you can stick it in the fridge and it'll be good.
Oh yeah, this is what we've said before, isn't it? You know, shops put a best before on stuff because by law they have to. But if you were at home, you would make this stuff and it would last a couple of more days.
Mm.
So, you know, don't be worried about not eating it that day because it's going to magically go off overnight and give you food poisoning. It don't work like that. But it's just by law they can't keep it on the shelves.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
So that's why it's obviously cheap and then people can buy it up.
Yeah. So I must have got something that must have been about 25 quid worth of food.
Yeah, sounds it. That sounds like it would be over that margin, yeah.
And I got it for 10% of that.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
But really good. Really, really good. I did try and get something else today. I thought I'd get a nice little treat.
For the podcasters.
Yeah, a little potty treat. but as I arrived just next to park the car to pick up the stuff, I got notifications saying, sorry, there was no surplus today.
Yeah.
So I missed out on that, which is a shame, but...
It can happen, but it also means they've sold everything and it's not going to go to waste.
Which is actually the whole point.
Yeah.
Trying to reduce the food waste is the actual real reason to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no point in just picking stuff up for fun.
Mm.
But, yeah, slightly disappointing because it was just going to be sweet treats and...
Sweet treats today.
Yeah, which is just what you want.
Yeah, when you're doing the poddy. It's a great idea, though, yeah, and I love the fact that more companies are getting into it. Because I remember, because I think it was me and you, we were talking about it when it first came out.
Mm.
And there was only a few shops on there then. But I like the fact that more, you know, companies, businesses, whatever, are getting into it. Because, if it's going to go just in the bin, why?
Yeah.
When there's people out there going hungry, maybe they've only got a couple of quid. You know, if they could get a bargain, then why wouldn't you offer it to them? Yeah, you're exactly. Still making money that would otherwise go in the bin.
Mm.
Even if it's just a couple of quid. But it's better than nothing.
It's better than zero, isn't it?
Somebody's getting fed. And you're not chucking it in a bin to go to landfill. You know, you're actually helping somebody feed themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost. Do you know what I mean? It's a really good way to do it. And I know a lot of places are doing it, especially, but I don't know if they do it in America. Was it something I watched? And they're doing it in America. Oh, I can't quite remember, but I'm sure there's somewhere else which is doing it, and it's actually worked so well.
Mm.
The actual sort of waste and obviously like landfill sort of stuff has reduced to the point where the recycling's gone up,
because
obviously people take it home, eat it, then put the wrappers in recycling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's no sort of over, like it has actually reduced, and like somebody put up a sort of graph to show that it's been counted and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How much food waste has gone into stuff, and it's good. And I know obviously pig farmers and stuff, they might buy some stuff to feed pigs. Like if certain businesses don't use a lot of stuff, a pig farm will buy it because pigs will eat it.
Yes.
But if it's actually in the store and already made up, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you go get it and give yourself a little bargain? You know, if I was out and about, now you've told me about it, if I was coming back, say, from my nan and granddad's, and I thought, oh, I'm back at work tomorrow, maybe I'll have a look and see what's about. Oh, I can pick up a baguette or, you know, a bag of surprises, and maybe that'll sort me out for lunch tomorrow. Maybe it won't. It might be mashed potato or carrot sticks or something like that I'm not really into, you know.
And it is a surprise, and I think that's, I don't want to say it's a downside, because at the end of the day, the whole purpose is to reduce the waste. But if you're hoping for something and it's not there, you're probably going to be disappointed. But if you can look at it and go, this sounds good, there's a good chance I'm going to use the stuff that's going to be
something
in here
that they give me, I can use.
Like,
yeah.
I went to Greg's. I like a lot of the stuff that Greg's do. I was hoping for some sweet treats. I got some. Mm. I got some sandwiches I couldn't eat, so I gave those to the kids and they took them home with them.
Yeah,
they ate those. I ate the veggie one. So
you fed three of you for £2.50.
Yeah,
you know,
great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great little idea. And obviously, they give you time slots to pick stuff up, because it's based on when the shop has to get rid of their surplus.
Yeah.
So you can't. It's not like just everybody can show up at 5 o'clock and you can just chuck them £2.50. You have to book it.
Yeah,
and
it's all done on the app. So.
And you have to take the app with you.
Yeah.
So you can't just get your mate to rock up with a code or anything like that. It's all got to be proper, because otherwise you could just rip them off and like loads of you could go in.
Yeah.
You know, but to be fair, I like it. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I think there is probably a little bit of a first come, first serve sort of thing. So you pay for it before you go.
Yes.
But they just hold your money as a pending transaction until you've collected it.
Right, that's a good idea.
And then they refund you if you don't get it. So I think today, the slot for where I was going was 5 till 5:30.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't have got there till 5:10. But if somebody's rocked up at 5 o'clock on the dot, or a couple of people are rocked up right at 5 o'clock,
yeah,
they've probably picked them up, and they haven't really had enough surplus for three people, but they've had enough for two. So if I'd been there earlier, I would have got it.
But
I've lost. Yeah. I've lost nothing.
Yeah, because you get your money back if they don't. If they don't give you the bag,
and it got me out the house for 10 minutes. So
yeah, a bit of fresh air in the car with the windows done up.
Yeah, right. So yeah. So anyway, that was the Too Good To Go app if you're that way inclined, but definitely worth a look.
Mm. Definitely helps people out, helps the environment out. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
You know. I'm also up for more bins, because there ain't enough bins around, is there?
No.
That just made me think about bins, because where are the bins?
People are just too scared to have bins these days.
Yeah, but why?
It just goes,
I see crap everywhere I go.
It just goes back to the earliest 2000s, where it's all security risk, and I think as a result, a lot of bins got removed, and people just get told now,
take your rubbish home.
Take it home, which is fine, but sometimes
You know, we take our rubbish home, but speaking about waste and stuff just floating around everywhere, the amount of times I walk the dog and there's just crap.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
No,
plastic stuff. Just on nice, lovely walks, because there ain't a bin for 2 miles, you know. Oh, God, blimey. Yeah, it's a shame that.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, I'm not going to go into a proper rant about that, but.
that and public toilets. Anyway.
Yeah, public toilets. Do you remember they used to have the toilets at the top of the George Yard?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, top of the George Yard. They used to have some public toilets up there. And then I think you had to pay 20p to get in them.
Yeah.
And that was the downfall, because then some smart ass went, do you know what, we can have 2 car parking spaces there.
Yeah.
So got rid of them. And now, because of the way the world is, if you go into a pub like Wetherspoons, really, you can't just walk in and go toilet.
Mm.
Because it's like, you should really pour a drink if you're going to come in there, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where are the public toilets?
Well, that's it. There's none, is there?
Yeah. You'd have to be real ballsy to just walk into a coffee shop and be like, can I please use your toilet without buying a coffee? You know, I know it's a bit cheeky. I think the bus station still has public loos.
Oh, okay.
But that's the only place in town.
Hmm.
Whereas, I know it's somebody to clean it, somebody has to get paid to look after them, you know. If somebody locks themselves in and the police have to deal with it and it's stress and blah, 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 blah. But what's the world coming to, man?
It's nuts, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's gone mad.
It's gone mad, you know. And this is why people drive more. There's more cars on the road because you can't just get the bus into town and do whatever because you need to drive because you probably need to go home quicker to get stuff done because there's nothing in town to help help you do it.
Could well be.
Everything's sort of flowing around in a little circle of, oh, let's just try and make more use of stuff, but actually we're going to make it worse for people. Anyway, little minor head rant there.
Anyway, probably a lovely place, as we turn it onto a downer, a lovely place.
Sean's on one again. Let's end it quick before he carries on. The government doesn't like us. This is not a political podcast.
Right. Well, with that being said, it was, and it is, as always, a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolute pleasure.
Look after yourself.
Be good.
Nice. And stay out of the sun.